کرتے ہیں. نمو بھگوتے واسدیوائے نمو بھگوتے واسدیوائے نمو بھگوتے واسدیوائے. ٹوگیدر نارائنم نمسکرتیا نرم چیوا نروتمم دیویم سرسوتیم ویاسم تتو جیمدیریت نشٹ پرایشو بھدریشو نتیم بھاگوت سیویا بھگوتی اتم شلوکے بھکتیر بھوتی نشٹکی کرشنایا واسودیوایا دیوکی نندنایا چا نند گوپ کمارایا گووندایا نمو نمہ. ہرے کرشنا. So we are reading from Canto 1, Chapter 13, entitled Dhritarashtra Quits Home, Text 9. Repeat behind me. Kaya vrittya vartitam vas Sharadbihi shitimandalam Tirthani shetra mukhyani سیویتانیہ بھوتلے کیا ورتیا ورتتم ورش شردبھی شریمنڈلم तीर्थानि क्षेत्रमुख्यानि सेवितानि भूतले। कया वृत्त्या वर्तितं वश चरद्भिः क्षितिमण्डलम्। तीर्थानि क्षेत्रमुख्यानि सेवितानि भूतले। कया वृत्त्या वर्तितं वश चरद्भिः क्षितिमण्डलम्। तीर्थानि क्षेत्रमुख्यानि सेवितानि भूतले। वृत्त्या वर्तितं वः चरद्भिः क्षितिमण्डलम्। तीर्थानि क्षेत्रमुख्यानि सेवितानि भूतले। माताजी, हाँ ओके। कया वृत्त्या वर्तितं वश चरद्भिः क्षितिमण्डलम्। तीर्थानि क्षेत्रमुख्यानि सेवितानि भूतले। माताजी, कया बाय विच वृत्त्या means vartitam maintained your livelihood, vaha your good self, charadbhi while traveling, shiti mandalam on the surface of the earth, tirthani places of pilgrimage, kshetramukhyani the principal holy places, sevitani served by you, iha in this world, bhutale on this planet. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: while traveling on the surface of the earth, how did you maintain your livelihood? At which holy places and pilgrimage sites did you render service? Purport: Vidura went out from the palace to detach himself from household affairs, especially political intrigues. As referred to here and before, he was practically insulted by Duryodhana's calling him a son of Shudrani, although it was not out of place to talk loosely in the case of one's grandmother. Vidura's mother, although a Shudrani, was the grandmother of Duryodhan, and funny talks are sometimes allowed between grandmother and grandchildren. But because the remark was an actual fact, it was an unpalatable talk to Vidura, and it was accepted as a direct insult. He therefore decided to quit his paternal house and prepare for the renounced order of life. This preparatory stage is called Vanaprastha Ashram, or retired life for traveling and visiting the holy places on the surface of the earth. In the holy places of India, like Vrindavan, Haridwar, Jagannath Puri and Prayag, there are many great devotees, and there are still free kitchen houses for persons who desire to advance spiritually. Maharaj Yudhishthir was inquisitive to learn whether Vidura maintained himself by the mercy of free kitchen houses, chhatras. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोविष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरौ श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कान्त राधाकान्त नमस्तुते। तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी विषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वञ्चाकल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभेव च परिदानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषाशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्या प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामो राम रामो हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो हियर इन दिस चैप्टर कैंटो वन चैप्टर 13 महाराज युधिष्ठिर इज इंक्वायरिंग फ्रॉम विदुरा। इन दिस पर्टिकुलर वर्स ही सेइंग कया वृत्त्या वर्तितम वश चरद भी सिद्धि मंडलम। यू आर गोइंग टू मैनी होली प्लेसेस ऑफ पिलग्रिमेज, हाउ डिड यू मेंटेन योर सेल्फ? जस्ट इमेजिन विदुरा वॉज इन अ रॉयल पैलेस, ही कुड हैव कैरिड समथिंग टू मेंटेन हिमसेल्फ, राइट? ही कुड हैव सम सेविंग्स और समथिंग, सम इन्वेस्टमेंट्स, नथिंग। ही डिड नॉट कैरी एनीथिंग। यू नो अ पर्सन हु हैज लिव्ड इन अ रॉयल पैलेस इज बींग आस्क्ड अ क्वेश्चन, खाना पीना कहां से हुआ, हाउ डिड यू ईट एंड ड्रिंक? That means when he left the palace, he did not carry anything absolutely with him. So now a person who has lived in a royal palace, he's been asked, how did you pay your food and water bill? Where did you eat? How did you eat? Maintain yourself. So the life has changed for him all of a sudden. It's a striking change, right? From the royal palace, how he going to eat, where he going to pay the money? So he's suddenly from riches to rags. There is a sudden change in his life. So how do you maintain yourself? And then, Tirthani Kshetra Mukhyani Sevitani Bhutale, which all holy places, it's not mentioned you toured. You served Sevitaniha. Which all holy places did you serve? So again, a very important word, that all the activities of devotional service, now going to dham, staying in the dham is one of the main limbs on the Panchang Bhakti. So that should be done in the mood of service. We should not go to holy places as tourists. Once His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was mentioning, he said, nowadays people go to the holy places and they click thousands of photographs, capturing. But he said that we will not be able to see the dham as tourists, absolutely. Yes, only as servants, only in the mood of service shall we be able to have darshan of the dham. And all the activities of bhakti should be done in this mood. Service. So in the biography of Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur, often he would use that the term that we are here to serve Mayapur Dham. We're here to serve the Dham. I would say that when I read that, I was not able to accommodate how do they serve the Dham. But it was a mood that whatever activities of bhakti we are doing in the Dham should be in the mood or should be offered to the Lord, should be pleasing to devotees, should be service to devotees, service to the Supreme Lord. In that mood, one should visit the Dham. So, which all holy places did you serve? That is the question of Yudhishthira Maharaj. Okay, so now Prabhupada mentions, he goes back a little bit in the purport to the history, that Duryodhana, what led to Vidura leaving for the holy places? This Duryodhana's very sharp insulting words. Third canto where these words are mentioned, it's mentioned, Ati Ulban Karna Banair. Very piercing, very sharp. Karna Banair. The arrows which enter the heart through the ears. So this Karna Banair are very fatal, or they enter once but they keep hitting the heart again and again, unlike the other sharp arrows. The other sharp arrow may directly hit the heart, it may create wound or it may kill a person, but this Karna Banair, when they enter the heart, they hit again and again, and they are more tormenting than the other any kind of arrows, other physical arrows. So Vidura was hit by those Karna Banair, Ati Ulbanam, very fierce, insulting words. So one of the insults that Duryodhana hurled at Vidura was calling him a Dasi Putra. You the son of the kept maid servant, like that. So Prabhupada says, well, Vidura was known as Dasi Putra. It was known, but then it was spoken in a very insulting way. The way it was spoken, that made a out of envy, animosity. So it was spoken in a very insulting way, and which was very hurting. Or his heart was pierced. Vidura's heart was pierced by those insulting words. He spoke a lot of those insulting words. So in this way, it forced Vidura to leave from the palace. So we will discuss, today from Bhagavatam, the response of the devotees, the different levels of response simultaneously. Different levels of response of devotees to difficult situation, challenging situation, or we can even say any kind of situation, a generic. Three levels of response. So, before we go into the three levels of response, we will see that there we can identify three levels of causes, or three kinds of causes which are acting at different levels for which create any kind of situation. One is the immediate cause. Suppose we have got some disease, then we have to identify the immediate cause. If it is a malaria, then we have to see mosquito is the immediate cause. Or if it is a COVID infection, then the virus is the immediate cause. So, of any situation that happens to us, any challenge, any difficulty, we look at what is the immediate cause. That's the first thing. But that's not enough. And we have to deal with it. But then we should also see that whatever happens to us, there is a remote cause behind the immediate cause. The remote cause is that I may have done the same. It's my own karma. I am destined to suffer. Bhunjan ev atma kritam vipakam. That I am suffering. My own misdoing, some kind of misdoing is coming back to me. Remote cause. So behind any kind of suffering, There is always the remote cause is also acting. One's own karma, one's own destiny also play the role over here. But it's not sufficient to see any situation from immediate cause or even the remote cause. Doesn't give us the full understanding. We should also look at the ultimate cause. Sarva karan karanam. The ultimate cause, who is Krishna. That means as devotees we see in every situation the hands of Krishna. That this is being sent by the Lord. There is some lesson, there is something good over here because it is sent by the all merciful Lord. This is also His mercy. Tatte nukampam. This is also His mercy. Even though it may be my mistake, but still it's Lord's mercy and there is something good in this. So ultimate cause. And that's the ultimate solution also. Because in identifying immediate cause and remote cause, there is no solution over there. Even though we may identify there is a difficulty, there is an immediate cause, the remote cause, there could be some temporary solution, but there is no ultimate solution. So therefore when we look at the ultimate cause, we also reach at the ultimate solution. And so we take shelter of the Lord and see good, take shelter of Him and see something good and take up one step ahead in our surrender to Him in increasing our devotional service. So that's the, at the every situation we can see these three causes simultaneously and deal with them simultaneously, and that creates a very harmonious response to any situation, a very balanced response. So I will discuss this in little detail, what we, these three levels of causes and the three levels of response to these causes for any situation. Okay, so let's Vidura now, in this case, what we are discussing. So Vidura has been hurt. He felt pained by the sharp words of Duryodhana. So first of all, we should understand that this is very natural for any human. If there is a difficult situation, especially this kind of situation, someone has been insulted by sharp words, it's any sentient being would feel hurt or pained. When Krishna talks of being equal in honor and dishonor, it is not the equality of emotions that only Mayavadis strive for. Devotee who is sentient will always be hurt, for sure. Not just devotee, even Lord Varahadev, when Hiranyaksh spoke sharp words, it's mentioned by Prabhupada in Bhagavatam, even Lord Varahadev felt hurt because he is also sentient, the Supreme Lord. So he's spoken harsh words, any sentient being will feel hurt. Yes, even Lord Varahadev felt bad, he felt hurt, pained at heart. So Prabhupada says absolutely sentient. So therefore the feelings are coming from the Supreme Lord. Emotionally, any sentient being will feel pained at heart. So therefore Vidura, he felt hurt. Although he's a great Mahatma, he's a Mahajan, he's a pure devotee. But he felt hurt, he felt pained. So we don't deny emotions. That's the first thing, that emotional response is always there. When a difficult situation, we are affected, feel hurt. Okay, so but then what? And the next response of Vidura distinguishes him from the response of ordinary people. He did not identify or did not blame Duryodhana. Though he felt hurt, and Duryodhana is the immediate cause, and we may at times deal with the immediate cause in an appropriate way, but he did not blame Duryodhana for his pain. So then what was his understanding? Or how does a devotee in general understand? Vidura saw that he is simply an instrument of external energy. He is simply an instrument of external energy. He is acting helplessly in the hands of the three modes of material nature. Prakritihi kriyamanani gune karmani sarvashaha hamkar vimudatma karta hamithi mannete. So therefore, you know, people who are conditioned to respond in a certain way, they are helplessly responding. So like that. So he is it's like that. So he saw the external energy, the Lord is acting, did not saw the fault in Duryodhana. Also a devotee sees that I am reaping, probably I have hurted somebody before, so I am reaping my own misdoing. So in this way, with this two understanding that if I have been hurt, someone who has hurted me, that is this person's nature, conditioned nature. What can be done? We have to tolerate till the nature is purified or whatever it is. Or as at on immediate level, some feedback may have to be given. That's okay. But still we say, okay, this is the person's nature, conditioned nature, and the person acted like this. Or I have also probably hurted many people. So therefore, we understand that I have been hurt in this way. So this Vidura. So therefore, Vidura, understanding this, a devotee does not blame the instrument of one's own previous karma. So when we are looking at any situation in what is a remote cause, I myself am the remote cause. My own misdoing as a remote cause. Therefore, we understanding this, we do not put the blame on the instrument of our own karma. So that's the second level of response which we just discussed. Third is, Vidura saw the Lord's internal energy also acting in this situation. As a devotee, he saw Krishna's hand. I could not free myself from the palace, all this political intrigue, this diplomacy in politics. There are so many things has to be done. So he has been doing all the as a service, but still it would suck so much of energy. So therefore he said, okay, now the Lord is giving me opportunity to free myself from all these encumbrances. Now let me take retirement, VRS. So although he was being forced, but then from his heart also he detached himself. Now Lord is forcing me, let me just retire now from all this political. He didn't went to Dhritarashtra to complain, or plead for his cause and so on. He just decided, let me just quit the situation and go on a pilgrimage. Now Krishna is giving me opportunity to retire from my worldly duties, to renounce the comforts and to reinforce my bhakti. So this is Prabhupada says, this is Varnashrama in general. That we retire from the worldly duties, we renounce the comforts, we are used to comfortable living, and we reinforce our devotional service. And Prabhupada says, everyone should plan for this retirement. Anyone who is engaged in worldly duties, that person should plan for such kind of retirement. So Vidura took retirement now. He decided to go on pilgrimage. But he saw that, the Lord's internal energy is helping me to take shelter, to serve the holy places, to serve the great souls, to enhance my devotional service. So therefore, his response, he responded at all three levels. Okay, so let's see another case from Srimad Bhagavatam. Dhruva Maharaj has been hurt by the sharp words of Suruchi, his stepmother. And his heart has also been pierced. And any pain in the heart of a child is multiplied 100 times in the heart of the mother. So Suniti, when she saw the agony of Dhruva, Her pain is greater than Dhruva. So she also started crying. It's mentioned that her heart became dry like a leaf in the fire of that agony, that fire which lit up, which was burning her heart by seeing the pain of Dhruva and by hearing those words of his co-wife. She also, you know, was so aggrieved, Suniti. Again, human response. And she's a mother. It's very natural that we are hurt. There is a lot of pain. But then, look at her advice to Dhruva. Her advice to Dhruva. She says, Ma mangalam tat pareshu mamsta bhungte janoyat par dukkha dastat. Ma mangalam tat pareshu mamsta. My dear son, do not think anything bad about your stepmother. Do not think bad of your stepmother. And advice is coming from, not from, you know, a neutral person. Like brahmacharis may give advice. It's not coming from unaffected party, first of all. This advice is coming from a mother who is more affected than Dhruva. Sometimes we can advise when we are not affected. It's easy to advise. When we are studying scriptures, we can give advice. That means this advice she is also going to practice because she is affected party here. She is telling her son, do not think bad about your stepmother. Ma mangalam. Do not think any inauspicious. It's like when we are hurt by somebody, we think, you know, this person should also suffer in this way. Yuvaraj should teach lesson to this person, whatever. So, ma mangalam tat pareshu mamsa. Do not think anything inauspicious about your stepmother. Do not wish anything bad. Do not wish that some bad should happen to her. Why? Bhungte jano yat par dukha dastat. We reap what we have done to others. This is what mother is saying to her son. We are reaping what we have done to others. Bhungte jano yat par dukha dastat. We may have spoken in similar way to others. We may have surely hurted in so many lifetimes. We have hurted others. So therefore, my dear son, now this line can also be interpreted in a way that don't wish anything bad about a stepmother. She will reap the result of her own misdoing. That is not what she is saying over here. Right? She is stating the law of karma. She is not applying to Suruchi. She is not saying, don't think bad. Anyway, she will reap the result of her own misdoing. No, she is saying, don't think bad, for we are reaping the result of our own misdoing. And advice is coming from a mother who is affected at that point of time. When I think of this, is very inconceivable. What kind of level of consciousness she has. So therefore, very elevated soul. Therefore, she also was going back to God as the Dhruva was going. So very, very high level of spiritual consciousness, very elevated consciousness Suniti had, that she advised her son not to blame her stepmother for his pain. So it's very difficult to take the responsibility of our pain on ourselves. It's very difficult. Whenever we are in any kind of difficulty, painful situation, the mind just does not accept that I am also responsible. We identify some external cause, some external person. Always, the mind doesn't just accept. It's so difficult. But when we can take the responsibility on our own self and not blame others, then we are in that frame of mind to take shelter of the ultimate solution. That platform prepares us to take shelter of, to see the ultimate cause and to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And that's what she says. Then she tells, from there she says, now you take shelter of the Supreme Lord. He advises Dhruva. If we are in negative frame of mind, blaming others, we'll not be actually able to take shelter of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, when we take responsibility of our own difficulty, then only we can positively take shelter of Krishna and see Krishna's hand. So then she guides her son to take shelter of the Lord. So, there are many more examples. When Srila Haridas Thakur was beaten in 21 marketplaces, he didn't identify the king, the Qazi, or even the soldiers who were giving him the beating. said, because I heard the blasphemy of the holy name, therefore I have received an apt punishment. He took the whole blame on himself. He didn't blame those who were the instruments of, who became instruments, who were inflicting pain upon him. Of course, Reza Sagar was always taking shelter of the Lord, but he showed this response. He showed this response. So, Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur would say that when people come and speak harsh words to you, you should see that merciful Bhagwan has sent them to me so that I can exercise my tolerance and forgiveness. Right? He was showing that, see the ultimate cause also in every situation. So in different statements we see the different causes. And understand that the Lord is merciful, merciful Bhagwan. He has sent somebody so that I can exercise my tolerance, my forgiveness. The word used is exercise. That means we develop by exercising, just like a person develops muscle by exercising. It goes to the gym. So different situations in life, difficult situations, they are time to exercise these Vaishnava qualities. So the difficult times are actually our true friends. They are more beneficial than from the Bhagavatam perspective than the good times. And they are because, from several perspectives. So the difficult times, the challenges, they expose our shortcomings. We can see that how did we respond. We have heard so much, we have been practicing, but where did we fall short? We can reflect back on our response. And the difficult times expose our shortcomings. They bring forth where do we stand. It's like the friend is supposed to tell that here we should improve. This is your shortcoming. Again, Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur would say, those who flatter me are my enemies, but those who, you know, point out my faults in a constructive way, they are my friends. So the friends are supposed to remind us of our shortcomings or our faults in a constructive way to help us. So the shortcoming, the difficulties and our response to the difficulties expose our shortcomings. They are our friends. Then they give us many valuable lessons. We learn a lot going through the difficulties. They force us to take shelter of Krishna deeper. The third benefit, the many benefits are there of the difficult situations. So they are more beneficial. That's what we are discussing. So the difficult time, the challenging time, they force us to deepen our shelter of Krishna. And it also increase our tolerance, patience, forgiveness. By exercising, we grow internally. We develop our internal values, our ideals. So, in this way, these difficult situations also have a lot of good inside. If we can see through the Bhagavatam, they can do a lot of good to us. Another statement of His Holy Radhana Swami Maharaj, he would say in regards to forgiveness, he said that we are, if someone is speaking or someone acting wrongly, we are forced to exercise forgiveness. We are forced to exercise forgiveness. So he made a statement that one can go back to Godhead much quickly by exercising forgiveness than by not having the opportunity to exercise forgiveness. So therefore, those who speak or those who do speak harshly to us or do something hurt us, they are giving us an opportunity to exercise forgiveness. We can even be grateful to them. That is Shiva Bhagavatam. So people say, think positive, but a Bhagavatam is the pinnacle of positivity, right? Throwing away all the negativity. Shiva Bhagavatam examples, and they are real examples, not theoretical examples. People who have practiced that positivity in life and shown. But the substance is devotional service, the shelter of Krishna. So the highest positivity is shown in Srimad Bhagavatam. So the going through the difficulty, right? Or we can say growing through the difficulty. Why we go through the difficulty? We grow through the difficulty. We can go back to Godhead much faster. We grow much faster difficulty. So these difficulties are also can be seen as great opportunities, great assets in many ways. So, of course, it's not that we always pray that let there be difficulties, like, and if Krishna likes us to see his devotees happy. But whatever is, you know, ordained, whatever comes on the way, one can take advantage of the difficult situation also, right? By having the right consciousness, right attitude. So actually both difficulties and prosperity for a devotee can advance through both. It's not that we want to hate happy situations, or we want to hate prosperity and we want to invite difficulty like a sadist. Not like that. So when in due course of time, by the arrangement of the nature, by providence, by the arrangement of providence, when difficult situation comes, a devotee can grow through the difficulties by responding in this way what we are discussing. One can increase one's tolerance, forgiveness, humility. And when there is a prosperity, when there is success in life, one should progress by increasing one's gratitude. One should give all the credit to the Lord, to one's spiritual master and to the Vaishnavas. And one should feel that I do not deserve this. So in this way, in every situation, whether it's a failure or a success, a devotee can advance through each situation in the right, by having the right attitude. Learning from Srimad Bhagavatam. So, there are many more examples. Even Srila Prabhupada, we can just see an example from the Prabhupada's own life. He was meeting one failure after another in life in regards to his business. His family life was also almost a failure. Okay? Business was a total failure. Family life was also almost a failure because his wife didn't cooperate. Out of his five children, the four were against. Only one supported him. It's not that full-fledged he was with him. One supported him. Prabhupada tried his best. On immediate level, he tried multiple attempts. Six times, that Devrajwari Prabhu mentioned in his class, that Prabhupada failed six times in his business attempts. But he kept trying. Right? It's not that he gave it up. He kept trying on the immediate level to deal with the situation. As Prabhupada himself would say, do the needful. So when there is any external difficulty situation, we have to do the needful. We have to respond to that situation. Prabhupada kept trying one business after another, but everything was failing. But we don't see anywhere where Prabhupada blaming others for the failure of his business. He kept trying. And ultimately, finally, when everything was lost, right, his last business was, everything was stolen. His office chair was also stolen. Everything was stolen. So then he stopped all the attempts and simply laughed, looking at the hands of Krishna. And saw the ultimate cause. Ultimately, Krishna is arranging all this, and now let me take full shelter of the Lord. So in this way, we can see in the devotees this three levels of response to these situations. And on an immediate level, we deal with the situation. When we see an immediate cause, and our immediate response is we deal with the situation appropriately, do the needful, whatever needs to be done. When we see the remote cause, we don't blame others, rather we take the responsibility in ourselves. So that's, and that paves the way for the ultimate response, seeing the ultimate cause, Krishna, and we surrender to him. And there lies the ultimate solution. So in this way, there are many more examples in the scriptures in this regard, but we'll not go into that detail. At this point of time, I would like to ask if there are any questions that you may have.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, Prabhuji, can you repeat that there are three types of causes, remote, immediate, and can you repeat the third type of cause?
The ultimate cause.
Ultimate cause. And can you elaborate on those third ultimate cause?
Ultimate cause, elaborate Krishna, sarva karana karanam, Krishna is the ultimate cause. In the sense that he is not to be blamed, that we don't put the blame on him, ultimate cause. He is the ultimate cause that we see his hand, that even in the difficult situation there is Lord's hand and there is something good for me, there is some lesson to be learned for me by taking shelter of him, by seeing his hand, because the Lord is all merciful, all good. We can see something good in the worst situation. Right? So by taking shelter of that ultimate cause, we find the ultimate good. If not the immediate good, we find the ultimate good. Right? We find the ultimate good. So therefore surrendering to him is the ultimate good. So he is the ultimate cause of everything, sarva karana karanam. And we should also see the Lord's hand in every situation as devotees. Any other question? Yes, Arvind Madhav Prabhu has.
The immediate cause where we endeavor to tackle the situation, and when it goes, then at certain point we say it is because of remote cause. So at what point we can understand ki now this is a remote cause? Because many times people have a tendency that instead of putting endeavors, they directly point the remote cause and just lift their hands without doing anything.
Oh, right. Okay, good. See, now, what may happen sometime, we may just directly say, identify only the remote cause. Or I would say that the karmis only identify immediate cause and they try to only deal with the situation. Right? So the karmis just try to identify the immediate cause and they try to deal with the situation at their level and so on. And they may able to solve it, or the problem may aggravate. They may also hurt others in order to solve their problem. Right? So like that. So, and then there are others who may, so therefore when we identify only the immediate cause, then what happens? We blame others, and we maybe temporarily we may solve problem, or we may shift the problem, or we may aggravate also on immediate level. So therefore the karmis, they will try to solve it, but then it may aggravate, it may reduce a bit. But they then continue in the cycle. Right? The cycle of problem will continue. That's one thing. Okay, then one may only identify the remote cause, my own destiny, this is my own destiny. And then one may not want to deal with it. So therefore, that identify only the remote cause, doesn't, although it's true, but identifying only doesn't really help us, doesn't really even help us to grow also, because our duty, we can't be passive. See, destiny doesn't make us passive. It is just that we don't blame others. Right? So there were, one person was saying, you know, if I know that I am not going to get something, if I come to know that I am going to fail in the exam, then why should I study? This is a question often, you know, destiny paradox of destiny versus one's effort. If I know for sure I am failing, then why should I study? No, but your study is going to help you. Your study will, you may fail due to some reason still, but this study is going to help you a lot in the future. This study won't be a waste at any point of time. You are creating your further many opportunities for the study. So therefore, destiny never teaches us passivity. So destiny teaches us that we take the responsibility and not that we become passive. So even when we know for sure it's going to happen, Vritrasur knew for sure that he was going to die, but he fought most valiantly. Similarly, we may be sure that we may win, but we have to. Right? Even if there is a verse which says, Nahi suptasya simmasya pravashanti mrige nara. If the lion knows what is my destiny, then I get the food. It's not that he can just be on the one side and sleep peacefully and the food will come. He still has to go for searching. Right? He is assigned to get the food, but Nahi suptasya simmasya. Even the lion, you know, the food will come to him while he is taking rest or sleeping. He has to go and search. So one should not, as you said, that one should not become passive, justify laziness in the name of just identifying the remote cause. One has to deal with on an immediate level also. So therefore, if in some cases, if we just identify the remote cause, this is just my destiny. Then what it may lead to also is that we may be depressed, or even people may, suicidal tendencies may also develop. Just identifying, not dealing with it on an immediate platform, not also looking at the ultimate hand. So only that I am to be blamed, it may lead person to depression or a suicidal tendency. So if you see jnanis, they only identify, okay, all the activities are the cause, so let's do away with all the activity. And they walk the suicidal path. They want to have nirvana, where the soul has no activity. So therefore, only looking at remote cause also is detrimental. And only look at the ultimate cause. You know, whatever happened, Krishna is the cause. That is also impractical and irresponsible. Although it is the Krishna is the cause and the highest cause, but identifying only the ultimate cause and not identifying the immediate and the remote cause also is impractical and irresponsible. Therefore, we have to be practical in terms of immediate cause. We have to be responsible in terms of the remote cause, and we have to also have devotional in terms of the ultimate cause. So this is the harmonious response. So we are practical, responsible and devotional response is what we learn from the great souls and what we learn from Srimad Bhagavatam. Does that answer your question? Thank you. Okay, thank you very much for your kind attention. Jai Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.